Hey, I want to read you a quote from Farhan Zaidi, and I'll give you a bit of background. Kevin and I talked about the success Chris Taylor had last night. We talked about Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, and Justin Turner, and of course, you were the GM when the Dodgers brought Justin Turner over. But this was something Farhan Zaidi, now the general manager of the Giants, said earlier this year, and he was asked about the job the Dodgers have done in identifying these guys. And he said, these are success stories, but they're not just success stories because of their acquisition. These are success stories because the Dodgers gave these players the chance at the big league level and gave them some runway at the big league level. And he pointed out Max Muncy hitting 200 with two homers in his first 18 games. Dodgers stuck with him. Then all of a sudden, that June, he has 10 home runs and 76 at-bats. So I wanted to ask you, as a GM, how hard is that to do? Because you got a big payroll. It's a big market. You've got some superstar players. And here you got a guy that another organization basically tossed in the scrap heap. You've got him. How hard is it, Ned, to say to this guy and to say to a manager, we're gonna let this guy who was DFA'd 2 months ago, we're going to let him go. We're going to give him 5 weeks.
Well, it helps to have the talent you've got, because that means somebody else can pick up the slack while you're being patient. Being patient is the toughest thing to do. Obviously you've got, how good you do is in the paper every day. You know, the standings tell you how good you're doing on a daily basis. And I think that those teams that have the patience to wait, if you believe in your players and you believe in your scouts and your analytics, and you know that at some point in time, they're going to be able to do it, you got to be patient with it. More mistakes, I think, are made in sport due to impatience than patience. Patience is tough to do, though, obviously, especially baseball, because you're watching it every day. But you got to be patient. Look back to Justin Turner. He didn't hit 200 the first month he was in the big leagues with us.
Ned, have you had any dealings with the dead arm? And what do you think that you will see from Max Scherzer?
Well, knowing the person a little bit, I think that he will fight through whatever he's trying to fight through. I've seen the dead arm in spring training, like probably around St. Patrick's Day, right around there, your starting pitchers typically have a start or two where they just can't get it going again. But, you know, you've got a lot of wear and tear on everybody by this stage of the season. And I never forget this year, you're going from 60 to 162. Guys have pitched far more innings this year than they did a year ago. And in some cases, like Walker Buehler, he's pitched more innings than he's ever pitched, even in a full season. Julio is, you know, probably 150 innings ahead of where he was a year ago, and that's really where he's always been, in that 80 inning range. So I think in Max's case, certainly the effort, both Max and Walker, well, you know, they are as good a competitor as we'll see. That's no exaggeration. They are fierce with what they do. We'll see physically what they've got, because you'll see what they've got, because they won't have anything left when they're done.
I don't think this will happen, but what if Max goes 2 1/3? Who does Dave Roberts give the ball to?
Oh, goodness, it depends. There's no way to predict who's coming in next, unless you're in the ninth inning, and then you got about a 90% chance it's going to be Kenley. But it has been it's been probably scripted out as best it can, but that's private information. I'm not sure where he goes. Chance he goes left-handed to obviously go from a right-handed starter to a left-handed reliever, a chance that he goes in that direction.
Yeah, Ned, I was wondering what that charter flight must have been like for the Braves last night. We all know they've been here recently. They've been here before recently. We know the Dodgers have been here recently as well. But I'm wondering if maybe this isn't a time where, you know, the fact that the Braves made so many acquisitions at the trade deadline, they brought in Rosario, they brought in Duvall, Solera's back on the roster. I wonder if maybe that doesn't help sometimes when it comes to these things. Because I know Brian Cashman made a point one time about when you like to refresh, even a good team, you like to bring new faces, new voices in, because the sense of newness, you know, can carry that player in the postseason. And the other thing he said is, you know, you're bringing in guys, they don't have a tie to what happened last year. Like, I guarantee Eddie Rosario doesn't remember. Eddie Rosario wasn't on the team last year. So he's not thinking about blowing the lead. Adam Duvall's not thinking about blowing the lead. Soler isn't thinking about blowing the lead. Is there something to be said for that when you're putting a team together to bring in guys in who don't have a lot of institutional memory but are just want to win?
I think there is some value in that. I also think it's just a simple of your perseverance. I mean, these are professionals. These are playing at the highest level in the sport. And if you can't get beyond that, even if you were there last year and you can't get beyond that, well, you know what? That's your resume. That may be who you are. You know, we'll have to see. And that's not a knock on anybody. We have no idea how it's going to go. And many teams have had leads that they've lost. But does it help that you have fresher viewpoints to it? Yeah, I think it does. But does it mean that those that were there a year ago and went through it, that they're not capable of winning the game? You know, I don't think so. I think the flight home yesterday was tough. I don't think they came in to L.A. thinking that they were going to sweep or thinking they were going to win it in five. I think they probably thought that they would be in a decent spot to go back with a 3-2 lead with two games at home. And last year, too, those games were not in Atlanta. Those games were not in L.A. Those games were in a neutral site. So, you know, you play for a home field manager. It must be your home field manager. And it would be that you got 6-7 in your own ballpark. So they are in a little bit of an advantage that way, perhaps. But again, once the game starts, I don't think players hear anything. I don't think players are swayed by a crowd. I think if they are swayed by a crowd, I think that they're paying attention to something besides the game. And I think, you know, they got two home games. They didn't have two home games last year at the end of the BLCS. They were, everybody's in a neutral site. But as I was saying, you know, I don't think athletes listen to a crowd. Do they hear the buzz? Do they hear it maybe during BP or prior to a game? But once the game begins, I think the concentration level is really focused hitter pitcher. And paying attention to what you got. And they're as good as a crowd can be on the home side, as loud as they can be. The other team scores some runs early. That goes away. Dodger Stadium last night was as quiet as could be. So 52,000 people made no noise. It didn't make any difference what they were doing. So that home field has got some value, but not a whole lot.
Did you see any different from Trey Turner hitting second in the lineup last night?
A little bit. I just think he's a good hitter. He's a flat-out good hitter, and, yeah, you can keep him down for a period of time. I mean, the man won the batting title. He's been a lifetime over 300 hitter. Guys are going to go through stretches. You know, there's always I shouldn't say pressure, but there's always an expectation from every player unto himself that they play well and that they do good things. And this guy came over. Obviously a big trade. A lot of players went back that are going to be big league players. So, you know, some pressure there or whatever, some expectation on his own part. For the first time early in the postseason, I saw him expanding his zone. He's somebody that really, when you looked at his body of work, especially with L.A., well, you had to throw him a strike. You're going to walk him before you're going to get him to expand. And once he gets on first base, it's as good as a double. So, I just think it's really when they as a team and Trey Turner in specific, when they do not expand that strike zone and they make guys throw strikes, I think they just take it to people. They are too deep. They got too much talent, and they're going to have to be ice cold not to win another couple games.
Ned, if you were a general manager, would you have Albert Pujols in your team next year? If we assume that, let's assume there's a universal DH. Would you have Albert Pujols on your team?
I would.
Okay.
I would. I think he can still hit. He can still hit some right-handed, but certainly left-handed pitching. Who he is in that room is got huge value, too. If guys don't play and don't contribute, that value obviously is dissipated quite a bit. But he can still play, and he can probably, in a DH situation, he might get you 300 at-bats, and he can still hit. He can flat-out hit yet. So, yes, the answer is yes. National League DH, yes. American League, absolutely.
How is A.J. Pollock grown as a Dodger?
Well, if you look back at his first couple playoff games way back when, I think he struck out 11 times his first postseason in L.A. Whether the lights got too bright or whatever for that period of time, it did you know, he had a tough go of it. But he has continued to really take on everything. He was probably as good a hitter in the National League after July 1st, even though he had a hamstring issue and missed some time. He was probably the best hitter in the league from the second half on. He is, he's not a headline grabber. He's not Mookie. He's not Seager. He's not Bellinger or the Turners. But he is a really, really good player. I think that he is one of the players that separates the Dodgers from the rest of the competition, frankly. I think a lot of teams have got, you know, some guys you can match up, maybe not one and two, but you can certainly match up three, four, five. I'm not talking about batting order as much as the hierarchy of talent. And when you get that, if he's the sixth or seventh most talented guy on that team, he'd be the third or fourth most talented player on almost every other team. Difference maker. Center fielder by trade, so anytime you take a center fielder, move him to a corner, they see the game better. They understand it better than anybody. Your shortstop, second baseman, center fielder, catcher, the up-the-middle guys got to be your smartest players, anticipate situations, see different situations. So you got a center fielder by trade that's not as swift out there as he once was, but the mind is still swift playing in the corner. You know, he's an excellent, excellent player.
What do you think Dave Roberts' confidence level is with Gavin Lux right now?
I think as a hitter, it's still there. I think the center field play, and I guess it was a gamble when you think about it. You know, you're talking about a kid that's played sparingly in center field, sparingly in the outfield, middle infielder. So the ball comes off the bat. He sees that probably in a familiar refrain there. But that day, the way the sun is at Dodger Stadium this time of year, it is rugged. It is, and I don't think that he saw the ball completely and he was drifting. You know, he's going to go to the spot. If he sees it completely, he's not drifting that last 35 feet. He's like going to that part of it. But when you think about following a ball off the bat and seeing it go up into perhaps the sun itself, and then you got to figure out where you're going to pick it up again. Because that's why I think a player would glide and not just stride over to where the ball is. I'm not sure he knew where the ball was going to be until it started to come back down. That's a tough thing to do, tough thing to put on a young player. You know, we've seen guys do it. You know, veterans that, you know, had some trouble doing it. You know, I go back to, I think, Mickey Stanley years ago with Detroit was kind of in the same position a little bit, although not the air situation. It's tough to do. And when you add the element of weather / sun, it gets even tougher to do. I think if Atlanta, if it's different that time of day, I think that you may see him back out there. Otherwise, you know what? You got Chris Taylor. He's going to have to play third with JT out to figure out your outfield with A.J. Pollock and Mookie Betts and perhaps Bellinger, and then figure out first base with Albert. But, you know, they've got versatility. They've done this for years. They just play guys all over the place. Chris Taylor was a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't make the team. Went out and said, told Dave Roberts, I'm going to learn how to play the outfield. That's what he did. So this team has got the versatility and the experience to play a lot of different places. But sometimes experience is going to count, and I think that's what happened in center field the other day with the Sun.
Last question from me. Kevin and I were talking about the number of stolen bases in this series, and I think until Eddie Rosario was throwing out, base stealers were 23 for 23 in the NLCS. And you know, I was wondering, you know, baseball people are great copycats. Will we see the stolen base come back into the game? Kevin seemed to think it was more a product of just so many pitching changes, and relievers come in, and relievers are thinking of first pitch. You know, they're just focused on the hitter. How do you view what we're seeing, the stolen bases?
Well, I think you're right in that it's probably going to inch its way back in, at least in these situations. I think it's interesting that I would not call up a relief pitcher unless he could hold a runner on. It was part of the deal because I could not afford to have somebody come in, have command issues for one hitter, have him walk somebody, walk the leadoff, have that player be standing on second base and two pitches later. But people haven't paid attention to it. So how many pitchers have worked on their move? How many catchers have worked on the execution of the receiving, the release, the accuracy, the speed, all those things? Have people really worked on that for the last two or three years? Maybe sparingly, maybe here and there. But now suddenly it's still part of the game, and now it's a bigger part of the game. And I think you're seeing the struggle people have with it. And you know, good relief pitchers, you know, they talked about Max Fried having the best move of any lefty. You know, okay, what did that end up meaning? You know, not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's another part of execution. And people call, you know, fundamentals and things the little things, and they don't really, you know, well, we're not going to, you know, really spend a lot of time because we're not going to do that anymore. Well, guess what? Teams are running wild on it. You got Trey Turner, you got Betts, you got Bellinger, you got three guys that can flat out fly. You don't think that they're gonna test that? And the Atlanta pitchers also know whenever you got a pitcher in the stretch and they've got to think about even for a split second something besides that guy at the plate, you're putting your guy at the plate at a bigger advantage. And I think you're starting to see it. They're almost running at will on Atlanta, and almost vice versa too, to some extent. Not quite as successful as the Dodgers have been going the other way. But whoever gets to the American League, to the World Series, you can bet you'll be seeing it.